We're joined now by Capital Bureau Chief for the Advocate, Mark Ballard, as is our Thursday custom, and we're going to talk with him about impeachment, of course. But he's done a few stories this week about, speaking of power, he's rising electricity rates. And in today's Advocate, there's a story about rising electricity rates and a study that has been ordered. What's going on here, Mark?
Well, the first off, Energy has the Energy Louisiana, which is everybody but the city of New Orleans and some other cities that and rurals that do it, but about a million customers in the state. And they've always had the cheapest rates over the last few years. And now they need to replace some of their aging generating machines, the plants that actually make the electricity that goes to us. That is going to, it's about a $10 to $12 billion investment, which you and I are going to have to pay. And some of the largest customers of Entergy, the industrial plants up and down the river, are saying, wait, that's too much. Why don't you let us out of the monopoly? And, you know, then you may not have to build as many plants. And because there is going to be an increase in rates, you know, over time, over the next 10, 20 years, depending on, you know, what the schedule is like. The industrial say sooner, Energy says later. But the PSC is stepping in to try to figure out what's the best way, the cheapest way to do this. And in their directive of yesterday that that all of them, all five of them voted for, they decided that they're going to just look at all of the options, and that would include an option that leads to open markets for the industrials, that is allowing them to leave the monopoly. And I mean, that's kind of where it is right now.
Well, when we get these $200-$300 electric bills, as some of us occasionally do when it's real hot or real cold, it seems like it's a lot to pay, but your reporting finds that our rates are significantly lower than most others in the United States. Is that correct?
Right. That is what the that is what's been reported to the PSC, and the PSC staff has done an analysis that came out a few weeks ago that shows that, you know, indeed that we are we in Louisiana are paying less than other states, even the utilities customers who are with other utilities are and paying more than what Energy customers have to pay are actually paying less than elsewhere around the country.
Another story in today's Advocate, and because of impeachment, it isn't getting the attention it otherwise would. Obamacare mandate ruled unconstitutional. Siding with a legal challenge backed by Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry, a federal appeals court in New Orleans issued a ruling yesterday deeming the individual health insurance mandate in the Affordable Care Act unconstitutional. It was a 2-1 decision, saying that the mandate can no longer be viewed as an extension of Congress's power to tax because lawmakers have zeroed out the penalty for failing to obtain health care. But the rest of the law was sent back to a Texas judge. What is happening here, Mark?
Well, this is what's happening is that the Affordable Care Act has become very popular among people, and so that this kind of decade-old attack that the Republicans have had on it to get rid of it is starting to undermine the politics, individual politics for individual legislators, and so that I mean that's what's happening with it. The mandate. You know, which the mandate which they found unconstitutional under the circumstances of, or at least two out of the three judges found unconstitutional, is being sent back to the Fort Worth federal judge to say, well, what else could be held unconstitutional if we did away with the individual mandate? And that could slow down. He's going to have to do this massive report on it, and that could slow down this being an issue in 2020.
Well, since we last talked with you, not only has the president of the United States been impeached, but the president of LSU has left to go to Corvallis, Oregon, to be the head of Oregon State University. King Alexander has departed.
Big week.
big week. And now there is speculation that Jay Darden, the Commissioner of Administration, former Lieutenant Governor, former Secretary of State, State Senator, Metro Councilman, former LSU Student Body President, and former LSU Board Member, may very well be the next President and Chancellor of LSU. Here was Governor Edwards' response yesterday on Ask the Governor about whether Jay Darden will be succeeding King Alexander.
I'm not going to say it's not possible. You know, he's been a great Commissioner of Administration. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball to know exactly what his interest level is or what the board is going to do. But anytime a position comes open at LSU, his name is in the mix because, as you know, he's from Baton Rouge. He went to LSU. He was a student government president there.
Correct.
And he's got an excellent resume as it relates to all of the things he did in Louisiana, from a state senator to secretary of state to lieutenant governor and now commissioner of administration. But I think you're going to see a lot of really, really good candidates who are going to express interest in that position, and the board is going to have a tough job to wade through that and pick the very best for the university and for the state, and that's what I expect them to do.
What do you think as far as Darden's viability? He does not have the PhD, but he has everything else, and he probably, if he were here and he were not on the air, he would probably say, look, I am interested in the position.
Well, I'm not sure he would say that. I certainly have asked him a number of times, and he's been very cagey about the answer, but firm in saying he's Commissioner of Administration, and that's what he's interested in. Now, the head of the Board of Supervisors, Mary Werner, said that they're going to open a nationwide international search and that they're going to consider all varieties of presidents and what their skill sets all are, and that while she also has heard the names of Jay Darden and a few others who are local, that if they apply, you know, that they'll be considered along with everybody else. It won't get any special points for being local, but they'll be considered along with anyone else.
877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. We'll be back with Mark Ballard of The Advocate after this brief pause on WRKM. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing. Mark Ballard of The Advocate is our guest for the home stretch, and your number is 877-217-5757. Patrick in Innisfil Estates. Patrick, good morning. You're on the air with Mark Ballard. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Jim. I guess I agree. I'd like to see Jay Darden be the next president of LSU. I think we need someone local who has a interest in LSU, who's not going to just use this as a stepping stone to go somewhere else. And I think he would do five times the work at a fifth of the price that F. Alexander did. He's a good man, and he deserves it. He'd do a good job.
All right. I suspect Jay Darden will get the same pay or more if he is hired, as will anybody else who's hired for that position. In fact, King Alexander got over $100,000 more to go to Oregon than he received at LSU. So these are high-paying positions we're talking about. And Jay Darden, if he gets it, he deserves what he can receive. And this is the way the market bears high compensation. At one point, I recall that I think when Mark Emmert was chancellor, he was the highest-paid chancellor in America at a public university. But now the salaries have gone up and away all over the country.
Well, we're talking about, I mean, if you forget about the academic side of all of this, but you're talking about a huge business with lots and lots of people in it. I tend to think that, you know, their state government is the largest employer in Baton Rouge, and the second largest employer has got to be LSU, as well as the work that they do kind of impacts the economic development communities and all sorts of things that they're doing. So you're talking about an executive of a huge organization, and we tend to pay them more.
And this is also a president and chancellor combo job. Now, that could change. There are people who don't believe that's worked out very well, but as it is right now, it's a dual position. And back in the day when Mark Emmert was making huge money. Bill Jenkins and other presidents were also being paid well. So it's a big job. Speaking of the big job, the biggest job in the world, President of the United States, belongs to Donald John Trump until at least January 20th of 2021. And come tomorrow, he will be, 35 months in office. So at the very least, he has 13 months to go, but he has been impeached. And there is no question that the Senate will not convict him. But the House has impeached him and did so in a larger margin than the House impeached Bill Clinton. The most votes for either of the two counts against Clinton was 228, and yesterday Trump on the two counts against him, 230 and 229. So there is almost unanimous agreement from the Democrats that he should be removed from office, and almost unanimous agreement. In fact, yesterday the vote was unanimous among Republicans that he stay. And Mark, really no surprise here, but it is interesting that on something that is extremely easy to absorb as far as what the president did, as far as his viability, it depends mostly on what party you're in as far as how you view whether he did something worthy of being removed from office.
Well, I mean, I think where the rubber hits the road on this is, do you believe that his interactions with the Ukrainian government and trying to enlist their aid in investigating Joe Biden, you know, a prominent rival of his, is illegal and impeachable. And basically what I think this shows more than anything else is that the balkanization of American politics, and so you end up with a Republican Party that has their own set of facts in their bubbles, and they watch their own news channel to reinforce their own set of facts, and they believe one thing. And the Democrats, on the other hand, have their own set of facts, their own worldview of America and where it should be going and how we should get there. And they're getting their news from a different channel. And so that's what it seems to me to indicate is that we've balkanized in America, and we're not, you know, crossing over. And so this was the, I guess, almost inevitable step.
Well, the Republicans in the House of Representatives from Louisiana all voted to protect the president and said that he did not commit high crimes and misdemeanors, and those votes are now recorded for history. So long after they are dead and gone, their votes will be viewed by historians as something either prudent or not prudent, and largely they'll be tied forever to what happens with Donald John Trump. We're talking about Garrett Graves and Steve Scalise and Clay Higgins, Ralph Abraham, and Mike Johnson. And speaking of Congressman Johnson, he's been one of the most vocal defenders of the president, and Matt Doyle has a cut from Mike Johnson on the floor of the U.S. House yesterday.
They has feverishly produced and pursued this impeachment 20 times faster than the impeachment investigation of Bill Clinton. They've tried to reach their predetermined political outcome, and along the way, they've steamrolled over constitutionally guaranteed due process.
All right, and here is Cedric Richmond, who is the only Democrat, and he voted to impeach.
He's shooting holes in our Constitution on Pennsylvania Avenue. And our House, the people's House, must defend the Constitution from a domestic enemy to the rule of law, Donald Trump.
Goes to the Senate. Cassidy and Kennedy are almost certainly, I would say the odds are well over 99% that they will back the president. Cassidy is up for re-election next year, and he'll be on the ballot at the same time as Donald John Trump. And in most states, that would mean a horse race. But in Louisiana, I'm not so sure, Mark.
Yeah, I don't know who will be running against him. It's interesting to note that Cassidy already has come out to say that he's, you know, supporting of the president when it gets to him, when it gets into the Senate. But I can't think. Can you think of anyone, a Democrat, that could present a major challenge to a Republican senator statewide? I, Well, I can't.
Well, I think somebody like Jim Bernhardt could be an Eddie Rasponi-type candidate from the left. He has the money to run a campaign, but I don't think he has any interest in doing it.
Well, like, and he's the Mario Cuomo of Democratic politics.
Right, Hamlet on
Louisiana.
The bayou, right? But, yeah, I just don't see it happening. There is a young man who came on this show, an impressive man, but he has no war chest to speak of, Antoine Pierce, and he's going to give it a shot. And it's one of those things, Mark, where somebody could probably put their name on the ballot, and if they run a campaign, I mean a legitimate campaign, they'll get 40% of the votes. But getting from 40 to 50 is the rub. It's a little hard to do that.
Near impossible. Governor Edwards did it, but it took a superhuman effort in those final weeks before the runoff election, and he only got ahead by 40,000 votes out of, 1.5 million cast?
Right. But the National Democratic Party is probably getting justified criticism for not being better organized, and you would think a guy, for example, like Walt Leger, if the Democratic Party nationally were to fund his campaign, he would overnight be a viable candidate for the United States Senate, and he's term limited, so he's not going back to the legislature. But the Democrats may very well not get the Senate back, and the USA Today polls this week showed the president ahead of all the prominent Democrats in a head-to-head race at this point. Mark, as you know, 10.5 months in politics, though, is an eternity, and that's where we are. We're still 10.5 months away from Election Day in 2020.
Well, and we need to kind of keep in mind that that Richard Nixon, I mean, up until those tapes were made public, was an overwhelmingly popular president in the United States, and he lost that almost overnight when those tapes got cleared. So, I mean, we don't know how this is all going to play out, and there may be some sort of evidence that comes out that changes everybody's minds, or it could be like the Bill Clinton impeachment, where he comes out stronger than he went in. It's going to be hard to tell.
With Clinton, it was a personal matter, though, and I don't know, as I said yesterday, how many times have people lied in depositions about sex in divorce actions, and they have not been removed from their jobs or gone to jail because of it. But Clinton paid a steep price. He ultimately kept his job. And the president himself has said, this is the president talking, that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and people wouldn't care who are supportive of him. And there were tapes in the case of the president during the election of 2016, the Access Hollywood tapes, when he was using the most coarse terms to describe women and how he pursued women he was interested in. And it really didn't matter, Mark.
Yes, to a large number of people, it didn't matter. I would suggest that it mattered to a lot of folks, which is one reason why he probably didn't get the popular vote. But not enough, and I just don't. I mean, I don't know how these things work out. I would have thought that would have been the bullet that brought him down, but it didn't. It helped him get elected.
Well, he lost the overall vote by almost 3 million votes, and yet he won in the Electoral College. And some people are predicting a repeat performance, and that will, of course, create a firestorm of opposition that will just intensify, but we'll follow it right here. Thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure.
Enjoy it.
And signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial.